Back.
I mean, I think you can't find the We Are Back, and the We Are Back has to find you.
Okay. So who's doing it? Is this
I think you need a redemption We Are Back.
All right. I will do better this time.
I'll believe it when I see it.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. How was that one?
It was generic. It felt like the saltine cracker
Hmm.
OVO bags.
Wow.
Like it's good. It doesn't
I
get the
like.
job done, but like, you know, I feel like Megan is more of like a Ritz cracker. I think Brad's We Are Back is probably a little more of like an Oreo.
Oh, can't have too much of it, 'cause right? Is that what you're saying?
That
It's
is not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm
so
saying.
delicious that it's we can't load up on it too much.
I mean, I think it's like once you get it, you want the whole pack.
Yeah. Kind of just, some people aren't made for the We Are Back. And that's fine.
Maybe see, I've been talking a lot of shit about the We Are Back. Maybe I should do it. I need to give it a try. I need to feel like I'm just serving you up on a platter here to get roasted. So
Yeah.
I'll do it next week. How about that?
Is your question, what's my favorite cracker, based on what you were talking about?
No, that's a good one though. I'll save it. But what's up, everybody? Welcome to Airballs and Airballs podcast, where we do half big takes on basketball, uninformed opinions on pop culture, and sometimes talk about nothing. I feel like this is the pod where we like most live out our slogan.
Yeah.
But anyway, your host Joe Crawley. You can follow me at Kevon Looney on Instagram. I think it's just at Looney. Anyway, as always, here with my favorite Laker fan, Dominic Harinia.
Ooh.
Hey Dom, what's your favorite reverse jinx?
I think the one that I've probably been using like 20 times a game is probably like it's over or GG or just the classic when we're down 2-0, it's over. We're cooked.
Just declaring the game over as early as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, the reverse jinx go very hard in the group chats.
Yes, I'm a big like putting money where my mouth is reverse jinx. I love just betting on the other team because
Oh
I
yeah.
feel like that's me doing more like that's as close to actions speak louder than
That's
words.
yeah.
You know, and I think it turns any situation into a win-win. But reverse jinxes. I think this is going to be a playoff series full of them.
Yes.
I think Brad is like the tweet reverse jinxer. I think Brad will whip out just gifs and player insults and coach insults just to, I don't know, just to save the team.
Yeah, he's heavy on that. He might have stole my succession bit too, with the unserious picture or whatever with.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm talking about, but
I saw the tweet.
I wanted to address Brad on that, but maybe save it for the next one.
Save it for the next one. But anyway, I don't know. This feels like a special moment in AirPods and Airballs history. I wish Brad was here, but
Yes,
I feel like
this.
ever since you joined the pod in what, 2017?
Yeah, prop that sounds right.
Like a Warriors Lakers playoff series is sort of like our teams have never been good at the same time. And this is a rare occasion. And I don't know if this means we're gonna do like six podcasts in a week or something. It may mean we do zero podcasts in 6 weeks,
Yeah,
but
this feels like, did you watch Game of Thrones?
no.
All right, well, this feels like, in Game of Thrones, basically, without spoiling anything, you basically have a lot of different characters sort of spread out around, you know, the land, the called Westeros, whatever. And you're kind of just wondering, like, when all this is coming to a head, like when this big, all these characters finally gonna meet each other, blah, blah, all these different allegiances and, yeah, like allegiances and sides start to clash. And that took like so long, I feel like, in that show. It's just like a slow build, and that's what this is, you know. And
Sorry, keep going.
it's, yeah, I don't know how to feel right now.
I mean, I think like just for the listeners, we're also talking about the Met Gala after this, so stay tuned. It's not gonna be all
Yes.
basketball. Yeah, this is I completely lost you on that Game of Thrones bit. I promise. I'm sorry. But yeah, I have lost sleep thinking about this series.
What is it specifically that is haunting you? Is it the actual basketball, or like what would happen like on the Twitter timeline?
I think that winning this series might be a bigger deal for me than winning a championship. And I don't think it's anything about like particularly LeBron or like this Lakers team or this Warriors team. I feel like this is just like a not only like a culmination of like the opinions of this podcast, this is like the culmination of my life. Okay. Or I guess my life as a Warriors fan. I growing up in the Bay Area, grew up with some really bad Warriors teams. When my parents had season tickets for the Warriors for 2 seasons between 2000 and 2002, and in between those 2 years, I think the Warriors won a total of like 20 home games. And those were also like the peak, like Shaq and Kobe years. And it was just every time I go to a Warriors game or watch the Warriors on TV, they would lose, and half the people like at school would be like Laker fans and Kobe fans or Kings fans, and it would just be so annoying. And it never made sense. And I used to hate it. I used to hate watching, like, I feel like in every like growing up in those like that three-peat, I always rooted for the other team. I rooted for the Nets. I rooted for the Sixers.
Celtics or
I rooted for the Celtics. During that 2009 or 2010 championship, I was like, you know what? Anything is possible, KG. But yeah, and I don't know. It was always nice because like my team was never at heart, and I feel like I was rooting against Lakers out of principle. And now it's just, I don't know. I think I'm just set up for disappointment, and I think even if it wins, it's gonna be more of a sigh of relief than like a triumph.
Yeah, it's a lot to I mean, this is like it's not even like we're at the peak of our powers, right? Like both sides, you know, this feels like the tail end of your guys' run with your current group, and then obviously LeBron's 38. You know, AD's still in his prime, but who knows like what the next iteration of the Lakers team post LeBron's going to look like. So this almost feels like just the last sort of stand between the two sides. But yeah, I think it definitely means a lot. Like this probably has more hype and excitement going into it than the 17 and 18 finals combined, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think it's just I think there's a lot of expectations behind these two teams, which definitely drives this. I also think you have more like just a larger fan base out of LA here, and you have like the LA money machine sort of like backing a lot of this like information.
The money
So
machine.
I mean, like not only like the Lakers, but you have like like the whole media, you know what I mean? Like that's where they're all at. I think there's gonna be a lot of star power as opposed to was like in Cleveland like yeah. celebrity power. I guess like there's like a whole promotional thing behind it. That was never really there during like any of like the Warriors finals runs, like never had great ratings. And when they did have good ratings, it was like based off the star power of like Steph Curry and LeBron. And it was never because like, you know, the markets that were like really, you know, that were in this game. Where I feel like Lakers, right? The Lakers might be like the second biggest fan base in the NBA, right?
Who's the first?
Like after the Knicks.
Oh. Okay.
So you got a lot of that. And you got like a lot of like nationwide support too.
Yeah, and I think that's just the natural sort of like people might be sick of seeing you guys type of reaction.
And, yeah. it's fair. Right.
Yeah, and then LeBron's just like older, right? So people tend to just kind of soften up on the old head, even though people still like hate on him a little bit. But I guess if you'd had to describe in one word what you're feeling towards this series, what would that be?
Nervous, I think. Everything that's come out has that the Warriors are favored. I don't agree with how heavy the Warriors are favored in this series, but I do think the Warriors should be the favorite. But I think before I give my take why, I would be interested to hear like sort of like what's your one word to sum up how you're feeling?
Probably be stressed. Simple as that. Just like if I'm stressed already watching us against the Grizzlies and, you know, the play-in game against the T-Wolves, and now we get to face like the team I've been hating for the last 10 years probably. So this is like a 10-year buildup for me personally. We did win the play-in game, but in 2021, but I feel like that was a little different because it wasn't like there was no Clay that game or that season. And this just feels like the two sides, like Curry and LeBron, are finally like even, like the most it's been since maybe 2016, maybe. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if I could take. If I could take the loss, you know.
I think one of us
is just going to be so incredibly heartbroken and sad for a good like 2-3 weeks 4 weeks. I don't even know.
I mean, I think for me, like the Warriors have been blessed, you know, giving me like 4 championships over like the last 7-8 years or whatever, however long the stretch has been, right? Like I guess 9 years. And it's like I think we've had last series, I'd be like, fine. Like, it wasn't our year anyway. And I think if we lose next series, I'd be like, oh, cool, whatever. I think it's just the facts of the Lakers. And it's not like a LeBron thing. I think, like, when it comes to Curry and LeBron, their legacies are more or less established and set. And I'm not sure either one could really do anything to put themselves over the other at this point. Like, I think LeBron is firmly over Curry and legacy, and Curry would maybe have to win, like, 3 more championships and we'd have a discussion about it, but yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think I've seen this Warriors team enough, right? Where it's just like, it's not like, oh, I'll feel like, oh, we missed an opportunity. We've had tons of opportunities, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like it's fine. But yeah, I think also just the story of these teams are so similar, right? Like, Lakers started off 2-10, Warriors started off 3-7. You know, both did some rehauling of their lineups in the middle of the season. The 4 games we played against each other, like, didn't really say anything, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, first game, y'all had Russ. Second and third game, like,
there was no Steph or LeBron.
Yeah.
On my wedding day.
And then the fourth game, I think, like,
there's no LeBron. There's no LeBron. No D'Lo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, you can't, like, that's one of the other interesting parts is that there's no, like, we don't even know what to expect, right? With these teams, Lakers are so new, like still coming together. Even after the deadline, they were like, LeBron went down, D'Lo went down. So it really only been healthy the last 2 weeks of the regular season. And then this, you know, short playoff run to date. So, what was your midseason revamp? Was it the just Wiseman?
Well, Wiseman for GP2. Stop playing Ty Jerome. I don't know, like Moody is playing more minutes than he has like the entire season. And we're playing a lot less Kuminga. But I think Kuminga plays more of the series. But
I think he's just a body to throw at, you know.
Yeah. I don't our change wasn't as drastic as your change. But I think we're looking at I don't know, this West playoffs has been super interesting because basically besides the Nuggets, every other team that has advanced has basically like basically been a completely new team since February.
Yeah.
Right. And like it just, and you know, all those teams that had like, you know, regular season success sort of got out the first round besides the Nuggets. And
yeah,
I think it's a pretty big statement about like
the seriousness of, yeah, or just the regular season like as a whole is unserious. But yeah, from the Lakers side, I feel confident as well in our chances this series. I guess we're almost like the opposite of Sacramento. Like we're not going to, I think Sacramento is trying to beat you guys like fire with fire. And we're just not built like that at all. We're very strong defensively and very long, very athletic. Like on the wings with Rui and Vanderbilt, and then AD's obviously not Sabonis. So I feel good about those matchups. And then I think we have some better, just overall defenders on the perimeter too. The only thing that I'm a little worried about or questioning is probably the coaching matchup. That's probably gonna freak me out. Like just seeing what Darvin Ham's gonna do with rotations and whatnot. It took like six games for him to figure it out. So against Memphis, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's hard to like say like it's hard to take. I feel like I take a lot of stuff from the regular season with a grain of salt, right? Like the Warriors being a poor road team, but pulled like two big wins out of like Sacramento, out of like probably the most hostile playoff crowd so far. I mean, like Kings fans actually care, but like, I think one thing the Warriors have struggled with is against size and length. That's why they lost three games to like Oklahoma City this year. And I think that's a lot of what the Lakers have that make me like incredibly nervous. I'd be interested to hear your prediction. My prediction is Warriors in seven. I assume you're gonna come here and spout some bullshit about like Lakers in five, but
I'd say Lakers in six. Honestly, feel like it would probably follow the similar game script as our Memphis series. Probably steal that first game after you guys coming off the game seven high.
Yeah.
And then maybe get waxed game two and then win the home games at Staples and then lose at Chase and then win at Staples.
I'm not as confident. I think the Lakers win two games in a row, but like, I don't know. I think when I look at how the series plays out, I think we get an AD game, right? Where AD just steals it, right? Like, we get a Steph game, right? And I think there's an AD game, a Steph game, a LeBron game, and a Clay or Jordan Poole or Andrew Wiggins game. Like one of those three just sort of like steps up and steals a game. And I think that gets us a 2-2. And then I think there's one game where Steve Kerr just outcoaches the living shit out of Darvin Ham.
Yeah,
So.
I see that. I see that for sure.
I mean, I think it just comes down to the benches. I think you all have a better bench and you all have better role players. And I think the thing that I'm really nervous about is just that like our role players are small, right? Like the only bigs we really have coming off the bench, like someone like moderately big is like Kuminga, and I mean Moody is sort of like our sort of bigger wing, and he's like 6'6". But like we don't like, and I mean I don't know if the Warriors are playing like Anthony Lamb, then I hope we lose in four. But
I was gonna bring up like, I mean, if from the games that I was watching earlier, like Looney's gonna be on AD, so like if he gets in foul trouble, are we you guys gonna have to play like Jamichael Green, or who else do you have?
I think if Looney gets in foul trouble, yeah, we're gonna have to play Jamichael Green, or Anthony Lamb. I don't know. We also have if we're pulling out our rookie like Patrick Baldwin Jr. I think that's I don't think he's even suiting, or he is suiting, but like he's not even get playing the garbage minutes. But I don't know. I think for the Warriors too, like a really big make or break here is Jordan Poole. So for context, I have like I know the Warriors very well. I don't understand the Lakers that well. Like I have a surface level understanding of like them and their offense and their strengths and their rotations. But when it comes to the Warriors, right? Like Steph is will always be the number one option and like have a lot of gravity and will try to play off that gravity like always. Their second option really depends on who they play. For teams with smaller guards like the Kings, they rely on Klay Thompson because he's sort of like taller and bigger, and like this version of Klay Thompson now is much more like physical and hitting like fadeaways like off the baseline and stuff like that. If they play a bigger team, they try to outspeed them with Jordan Poole and let Jordan Poole sort of like kind of be reckless and reckless and drive to the basket and stuff like that. And like I think for a team that's full of big wings, like the Lakers, I think they're going to do more of that like Jordan Poole like driving action, which makes me nervous.
Yeah.
But like the Lakers are perfectly like fit to defend like Klay, which is not great.
Yeah, I think we have answers for, I guess, a couple, like we're very versatile. Like we have Schroeder who's pretty fast and can probably match up, decently well with Poole, maybe pressure Steph a little bit, but and then we can go big too. And yeah, use that wing length. So yeah, I mean, I like our defense, right? It's been the best in the league since the deadline, best record in the NBA since the deadline. So it's almost, I don't know. Like I'd say the only reason you guys are favored is probably the home court advantage at this point.
But we're so heavily favored. That point I don't get. But
Definitely like
we're
it was like
favored by like
-150.
-150 basically has us winning in six, right?
I don't know. You
Yeah.
guys were -280 against the Kings.
Yeah, but I think that's just like that was like no respect to the Kings. I mean you said we'd sweep them. No, I do think our three guard lineup might give you a little bit of trouble. And also I think the way the Warriors play is I think if AD scores 35 points, we win the series. But like to be completely honest with you. I think the way the Warriors play like defense is they'll let AD get his and they'll let like LeBron do whatever, but then just focus on locking down like Austin Reaves. Like as long as the third guy doesn't beat you, like I think the Warriors like beat us, the Warriors win the series. And that's how they've done it. Like that last game, they basically, we'll let Monk or we'll let De'Aaron Fox and we'll let Sabonis get their 55 points. But we're not gonna let Malik Monk beat us. We're not gonna let like Trey Lyles or whoever those other guards are. And I think the key, I think the key to the series will be like stopping it, like Austin Reeves and not letting D'Lo get hot and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think from what we saw in the Grizzly series, it really did showcase like anybody can step up and be that that third guy. I think every game that we won, we had a different leading scorer, and it wasn't even LeBron once. So I think that that sort of gives me a lot of confidence in, you know, whoever that third guy is, be it D'Lo, Reeves, even Hachimura at this point. Like, or yeah, just anybody can step up on this team. Like I have, like you, you can trust a solid five, six people.
Yeah.
I feel good. I feel good about it.
Yeah.
You're talking me, making me feel good about this, Joe.
No, no. I mean, I don't know. I just think that like, also we're not members, right? Like we will play defense on you and we won't shoot 30% from the field.
They had the defensive player of the year. Quote.
Okay. So was Rudy Gobert. Are we going to talk about how, like, we're going to talk about how like Rudy Gobert is a big difference maker. Like we're going to give Denver a lot of credit for being Rudy Gobert. Right.
I think they were, I think Memphis was a lot bigger than Sacramento, and they actually, you know, they played okay defense. I would say they're pretty physical with us. And I think it's just going to be tough for you guys when like we're probably going to attack whenever Poole's in the game. So let's just see how that happens. It's like we like to attack matchups. And
so does every team in the NBA, Dom.
Well, I don't know about the Kings. The Kings were just doing, they're just chucking in the third quarter yesterday. But yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think these teams are so like, I mean, I think what y'all have in length, we have in speed. And I think we move the ball probably a little better than y'all do, but
that's your offense.
Yeah. But like, but I also think that like, you know, what you can say about us attacking Poole or you guys attacking Poole, like we could say about us attacking D'Lo. Or Schroeder or, or frankly,
you guys just set like a million off ball screens and just sort of see what opens up from those. Right.
It's called the beauty of basketball, Dom.
I mean, you guys turned it over a ton against the Kings, who don't even play very good defense. So I think it'll be interesting to see with more length in the passing lanes. And, you know, maybe.
Dom, you're not being very mean.
What?
I expect this to be meaner. You're being a little too respectful right now.
I'm just confidently saying why I think we're going to win. You're not being mean either.
No, because you're my friend. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
I think, you know, I was thinking about,
what are you thinking about?
All this, this Draymond and LeBron, like Draymond not.
Oh, leading the fucking team.
I think we're like a Draymond and LeBron type of a friendship. Started out as a bitter rivalry on the podcast. You know, now we share similar experiences and hobbies.
Oh yeah. But no, I think yes, y'all are longer, y'all are bigger. Something the Warriors did against the Kings, which they hadn't really done all season, was attack the basket. Like the Warriors have always been just like a jack of a bunch of shots, like a drive and kick team.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that against the Kings because the Kings like have no interior defense. I think we'll be relying a lot more on like spot up, like Andrew Wiggins threes and spot up Moses Moody threes and spot up Dante DiVincenzo threes. Which I think would be a key for the Warriors offense here, which is like, I think that's what y'all want, right? Like y'all want the ball out of the hands of like Steph Clay and Jordan Poole. And you want Draymond taking his confident corner three.
Yes.
But yeah.
That's the beauty of the game, you know, like despite what we want, like that, those shots can still go in and really open up the offense. And then adjustments hopefully will be made if they are making those. So that's, yeah, that's
yeah, but I think it sucks because the adjustment then is like, let Steph Curry drive for the basket when they'll help defense.
With no help, like you're saying, if we're helping leaving the shooters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
at this point, this is just a basketball argument of like, oh, the team that makes more shots is likely to win the game.
I think it's gonna be more like a defensive series, like a sort of grinded out game. Because obviously you in Sacramento, you guys love, you know, the high paced game. We will gladly, I mean, we like to run in transition when we get the boards and when the opportunity see fit, but also we love to sort of kind of just bully people down low in the half court.
Yeah.
So
it'll be, I mean, I think that's another thing. Like Kevon Looney is not a great post defender.
I was watching some of the games
earlier
this year. AD's sort of he can get what he wants, like anything on Looney. So, and Draymond does do well as a primary defender on AD, but depends on, I guess, the foul situation. And then
I think realistically, like it's just going to be a double AD and scramble, right? Like I think that's what we're looking at here.
That worked against when Memphis was doing that. You know, it did frazzle us a bit.
Yeah, I think it's just the only thing, really, right? But I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
I don't know. I think game one is going to happen. I'm going to be in the dumps. I also think if you believe in this script that's going on, I think the Lakers are the ultimate script team. I think you couldn't have written. I think it takes a Hollywood level writer to write a script the Lakers season's on right now. I think the fact that this Lakers team wasn't even put together until February, so like, you know, we didn't have enough time to even get tired of them. And by the time we know them and get used to them, it's during the NBA Finals. Austin Reeves is like the most scripted person I've ever seen. They took some random white guy who was an undrafted, and now all of a sudden he's just like this leading scorer, like who's swaggy enough to wear like a single lace sleeve, right? Like Austin Reeves feels like a Nebo baby.
It does give that, but he's been doing it pretty consistently all year, even before the deadline, the trade deadline. He just wasn't getting as many minutes, you know, as the primary ball handler. Or as
script, it's all scripted. It was basically game dry runs, rehearsals.
Yeah, I mean this season has been the craziest, I think, in our Laker life or my Laker life, and I feel like that says a lot. Like we haven't been through the ups and downs as much as this year, and I think going into the playoffs, I was just happy to be there. But now, like just seeing how things are playing, and then obviously we have to go through this stressful 2-week series with my most hated team. This is going to be either like, yeah, really painful, or just the most glorious 2 weeks.
I mean, I'm just like, I know you're going to talk so much shit if the Lakers win. Yeah, and I'm scared. Like I know y'all will try to play some bully ball game. You're gonna play some like I got fouled, type game. But and I think the Warriors are gonna try to turn the pace up. And I think who can control the pace is gonna win the series.
Yeah. So. And I think we have one of the worst, or we used to have one of the worst transition defenses. So I don't know if that was pre-Russ or not, but you know, the Grizzlies definitely had their fair share of runouts on us when they got stops.
Yeah, I don't know. I think yeah. There's also gonna be the one game where the Warriors turn the ball over 22 times. And then it's just like there's nothing we can do. But yeah, it should be interesting.
So you're saying Warriors in seven. I say Lakers in six. Brad's probably gonna
Say some bullshit Warriors in
reverse
five.
jinx,
Yeah.
either like some either one end of the spectrum.
I can do a Brad impression of like, who am I worried about? Rui Hachimura? Jerry Vanderbilt? Who's this guy? I mean, are you serious? No. LeBron? Okay, I'm scared. AD? What?
We get
Fine.
80, fine.
Fine. Okay.
That's
Austin
good.
Austin Reeves? Jordan Poole is the worst. The worst.
I love
Yeah.
how he was wearing a pool jersey at the beginning of yesterday's game, and then he switched to the Curry.
I think he might whip out his D'Lo. He has a D'Lo San Francisco shirt jersey. Maybe flip that out. I don't know, man. It's just like I am planning my like next 2 weeks around this series. And I think I'm gonna be in some bad moods. Like, I don't know if I can watch any of these games in public.
Oh yeah, that's what I wanted to hit. The public watching experience. Yeah, it's I am not a fan of like if it's my team, I don't like watching
Yeah.
the public setting. I need the safe haven.
At the very least, maybe I'd go over to a friend's place. Like, I'll go to your place to watch a game. But I don't know if I go over to your place to watch this game. Like, this game,
Like
no.
any of these games?
I don't,
I think we're all just in our own little bubble.
to be like completely honest, like, I think if there's any game I could watch with you, it's maybe tomorrow's game. Because like if it's like a 3-1, if like the Warriors are down 3-1, I'm not gonna want to hear it, right? Yeah, I don't know. This might be a, yeah, I feel like the Warriors also do better when I watch a game on my couch as opposed to when I watch a game. I don't know. Watching a game at home makes me feel like I have more control, and not necessarily control of myself or my emotions. Like, it makes me feel like I have control of the juju I'm like sending over to the team. Right. When I'm out, it just feels like there's too many variables. And just like the communal fan experience is just, I don't know, I feel like I just judgmental that people don't know as much about basketball as I do.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's probably the worst part is just people that you know have no idea what's actually happening, and they just yell like every standard basket, like there's gonna be like 40 more of these, dude. Like,
Yeah.
calm down.
Or just cheering missed shots, right? It's like cheering missed wide open threes, I think is my thing. It's just like no, this is bad. I don't know. I feel like Denise has watched enough games for me where she'll start saying things she knows I would say like before I say it, right? Like, but when we miss an open shot, like she'll go, "Oh, we needed that," because that's something I like to say, and
Like
or that would have been huge.
like a momentum type shot.
Yeah. Or like we just went down five, this would have brought us back within three type shot. Or like we're up eight, like transition, crazy transition 3-pointer. But I don't know where I'm going with this. I just
What jersey did you wear for game seven, or if any?
I went neutral. I wore my WNBA sweater.
Are you gonna wear that tomorrow? Are you gonna ride the train?
I don't know. I think I might have mixed it up. I have a Steph Curry jersey, and that might be the good luck one. But I mean, I have to switch jerseys. Jeff asked me if I was gonna go to a game, but even if I could afford to go to one, I feel like watching in the arena is so different.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know if I could take like, yeah, I don't know. I guess.
All right. I feel like it's different when I know we could legitimately lose. I think that's also the nerve-wracking part. Like, one is the Lakers. Two, I think anything can happen. I think any result between Warriors and five and Lakers and five is completely possible. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the ticket prices are insane right now,
I'm
and
sure.
just like I don't even know if it Like, is it even going to be a fun experience for like real diehards like us that stress over everything?
And we're just going to be like, because we're not going to sit close, and it's just going to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I was at the Warriors game when the playoff game where they blew a 30-point lead to the Clippers. And that was one of the most miserable experiences of my life. So maybe it was, no, I think it was the Clippers, but, yeah, I just feel like I don't need Franco Finn yelling at me.
Who's that?
Like the Warriors in arena announcer guy. Yeah, man, I don't know. So all my Laker fans out there, I love you. I may take a break from Twitter. I may take a break from group chats from time to time.
I think the way that it's going between one of our chats, it's just going to be a battle of all the reverse jinxes.
I appreciate in our Hot Boys chat that we had like a legit conversation about like, oh, hey, what is your team good at? Like, what should I be worried about? Like, it almost felt insightful a little bit. Y'all gave me some insight about how good of a defender Vanderbilt is, like how worried I need to be about Vanderbilt. Y'all didn't ask me any questions because y'all are selfish motherfuckers. But like, yeah, just typical Lakers fans who think the world revolves around them. But
you said it yourself. You like, we've seen this team for like 9 straight years deep in the playoffs. I think people know what to be scared of with you guys at this point.
Yeah, I do think the one thing that people are playing down though is like, Looney is an upgrade, or sorry, Sabonis or AD is an upgrade from Sabonis, but I don't think KD or Looney is going to be like completely on an island all those games. I think AD is definitely the better matchup against Looney, but like I there are matchups I'm more concerned about. Like I'm more concerned about like who do we hide Steph Curry on, or like the Clay Austin Reeves matchup than I am about Looney versus AD.
Yeah, I would imagine Steph is hiding on Vanderbilt, and you guys are gonna give Vanderbilt that corner three.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he made a few against Memphis, but I would still continue to give him that if I were you. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's going to be, work's going to be stressful tomorrow, just leading up to the whole thing.
And I also, there's just the Draymond Green factor of like, I have no idea what happens. Draymond probably guards LeBron. No, they probably put Wiggins on LeBron. I mean, I don't know if Wiggins is still the quote LeBron stopper, but
I don't even know. Like, I mean, he could be put on anybody, right? In our starting lineup. Like he can guard D'Angelo. He can guard maybe not. I mean, I don't know about Austin. We'll see.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, he could, that's I guess the beauty of Draymond, I guess.
Beautiful, beautiful nightmare. But
all right.
Anyway, let's talk about the last happy thing we can.
Should we cut some tension in this last friendly episode?
Yeah, let's talk about the Met Gala.
Yeah, the Met Gala. I thought that it would be a fun thing to, as you say in the intro, half baked takes on.
Oh, real quick, shout out Tim Lump for asking you to put a bet on the Warriors tomorrow.
I don't understand. Tim has his own account, but somehow I have to put some stuff in. Like, I don't understand his restrictions. But
sorry, last thing, Warriors -4.5 is the dumbest line. I don't get it. Like we're coming off we're coming off one day rest. The Lakers have had time to think about it, right? Like they've also had time to game plan. I don't think the game plan versus the Warriors versus the game plan against the Kings is that different. You just have to play the better team that does like a same thing. It's just okay, instead of worrying about guards, you there's just one big man not to worry about when you play the Warriors. I don't know. I think I think the Warriors lose by like 10 tomorrow, and it's okay. But anyway, let's talk about Kella. Yeah.
All right. Well, for those for our listeners that don't know, the Met Gala is basically this fundraising event held at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And it's basically the event where people just sort of dress like really like outlandish and it's high fashion, right? And we're gonna be the two guys that know nothing about fashion to sort of react to some of these looks. But first, I guess the theme is Carl. What? What? It's how do you say Carl Lagerfeld? Lagerfeld? A line of beauty.
When we really mean uninformed opinions on pop
Uninformed
culture.
opinions on pop culture. All right, so I did my quick ChatGPT on Karl Lagerfeld. Gave me the gist, short gist. He was this fashion icon, passed away 2019. I guess he has his own personal look where whenever he's out, he's wearing these like giant collars, he's wearing gloves and sunglasses. But he's been around since the 50s and I guess very heavily involved with Chanel. So a lot of these looks will be Chanel inspired, but also he's very controversial because of his takes on Me Too movement, and he's made some condescending remarks on the bodies of women. Specifically,
Ooh.
he called our Adele fat, and that was not cool.
Not cool at
Not
all.
cool.
We're dedicating a whole Met Gala to him, and he called Adele fat.
That's controversial. I
Yeah.
mean, that was probably years ago. Adele looks great. Shout out Adele. But I guess a couple trivia questions for you
Ooh.
right off the bat here on the
Yeah.
Met Gala. What would you guess is the price for a solo ticket to this event?
I wish we didn't talk about the Warriors Lakers so much. We could do this. I love this preparedness. I'm gonna go $3,000.
Oh, I mean, that was close. You just needed to add a zero
Oh
at the end of
shit.
that. But you got four of the digits right.
One of the digits I abstained, but wow.
Solo ticket, $30,000, full table, $275,000. And then a bonus question. What was the price of a ticket in the first Met Gala event in 1948?
I'm gonna go $3.
$3. It was
I
you
thought it
like your
was.
threes, by the way. It was definitely higher.
Was it like 300?
Lower. It's less than
30?
100.
Oh, like 50?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean that
Oh, like Steph's 50 piece, but
That will never happen in the next series.
can we put money on that?
Sure.
Or like okay, like if I set Steph Curry's okay, I'll give you 1 to 2 odds that Steph Curry has at least 40 points in one of the games.
You just that's not 50.
Oh, I was trying to say no, I was just
You
trying to set an over underline. An over underline of
can't.
50 is nuts. Okay. One to three odds, Steph has at least 50 points in one game.
1 to 3 odds. I feel like
So
that's
if it happens, you give me 60. If it does happen, I'll give you 20.
You said 40?
50.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay.
Sorry, Megan. Okay, one last question. This is
Yeah.
really
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry to take us off.
a
Yeah.
marriage of both of our worlds here. What NBA players have attended the Met Gala?
Tons. I mean, Steph Curry.
Okay, yes.
Has Kobe been there?
Not in my research did I see Kobe.
Oh, I saw Shea.
Yes. Four more. No Blake.
Russ, obviously.
Yes.
I'm missing like what, three?
Three more. I think
Tristan Thompson.
Tristan. Oh, I guess that makes sense. I forgot.
Yeah.
After like the six times he's cheated or whatever. But yeah, I don't think you're gonna get you probably can get two of the next three. The third one is kind of random.
Just tell me.
Dwayne Wade.
Okay, yeah.
Melo.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Amari Stoudemire.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah. But like now you don't really see that, but back then
I would have never guessed it, but like I mean he was a Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, so far like not relevant like that anymore. All right. Well, now that the fun little trivia game is over, let's
I love this trivia.
Let's react to some looks. I'm gonna share my screen.
Real quick, I think we're sharing screens here. Yeah, okay.
We're sharing screens.
I think the important thing you have to share though is like your original wedding dress code was the Met Gala, right?
Was it?
It was gonna be something like that. Like I feel like when I opened
creative,
your wedding,
creative black tie.
The first time I opened your wedding website, it said the dress code was Met Gala.
It was just to impress, as if you were at the Met Gala.
Okay.
Serving looks.
I didn't even know that.
Serving looks, not dinner.
Oh, we serve dinner for sure. All right. Can you see this?
Yes. I'm looking at a Word document. That's how I know you work in finance. Anyway.
Why are you laughing over there? Anyways, all right. First guy, Mr. Bad Bunny.
Real quick. Okay, like so Carl's known for like big collars and I don't know. Maybe we'll figure this out as we look at it. But like, I don't know. This theme, when I first looked up the theme, it left me like very confused. But
I don't quite understand the theme. It's, I think a lot of people are wearing, from what I've seen, like a lot of black and white.
That's Carl. That's Carl.
Okay. So yeah, the guy himself is very.
That's Carl.
Carl. Okay. But yes, what do we think about Mr. Benito here?
I've seen some of the looks. I like the flowers. Is that flowers?
Don't know what that is. Like we're it's flowers, just but like
I don't know. It seems like
a skirt?
It's like
a train. It's giving me LeBron draft day suit 2003.
I mean, I think that's a double-breasted tuxedo.
Okay, maybe it's a bad angle.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not. I don't know. I'm not a big double-breasted tuxedo fan. I get it. Like, I get why people like it. It's just not something I like.
Have you tried it? I haven't personally tried it, so
I've just never like. I feel like I could take other risks, and just the double-breasted tuxedo jacket just hasn't been a risk I've wanted to take.
Yeah.
I think about this outfit, it feels very plain. It sort of feels like, you know, when like you're in college and you go to the theme party and you kind of buy like a last minute thing from Target to like add on top of clothes you already own. This feels like the Met Gala equivalent of this.
So what part of the outfit did he buy last minute?
The train.
Yeah. Let me go to 1-800 flowers and.
I feel like this is like the you could go to like you could lose the train and go to Marquee right after, but
yeah maybe that's what he's going for.
I don't know. This is like I don't know. This feels like I'm terrified to record this part of the podcast because I feel like this is the part where we could just say some shit that just
like, oh yeah we're definitely pissing some people off. Yeah. maybe Sarah Sanchez.
Yeah, but what are your thoughts about this?
what
are your thoughts about this?
It's fine, you know, like flowers are cool. Just reminded me of LeBron, but we have a good shot. We might have to lightning round this. This is Kylie Jenner. I'd say, great, look. I mean, it looks fine. I don't know if it goes along with the theme.
I still don't understand this theme. But again, out of our comfort zone, right? Like nothing about this dress is convincing me. This is maybe it's a Chanel dress, but like I don't know, it just looks like a regular dress. Like I feel like she could be on the red carpet somewhere.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel Met Gala.
It doesn't feel Met Gala. It feels more like the Grammys.
One time in college, I went to a Grease theme party, and I wore like a leather jacket that was more of like a cool, like a hip hop leather jacket than like a greaser leather jacket, and just called myself, oh, it's a leather jacket. And I feel like that's sort of like the dress equivalent of this.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. What if we just do like maybe thumbs up, thumbs down to save our analysis?
Jeez, how many did you pull? If you told me you did this much work, we wouldn't have spent 40 minutes talking about the Warriors and Lakers.
I wanted to surprise you, Mr. Draymond. All right.
This is
Michelle Yeoh.
Michelle Yeoh, yeah.
Queen.
Can you scroll down a little bit?
Let me I think that's it. That's all I cropped.
This is great.
Very elegant, you know, timeless, just like her.
I like the boots. Love a good sparkly necklace.
I like the watch. I don't know what that watch is, but it looks fancy.
It's an Apple Watch. but no, I think this is great. I think this is like She understood the assignment as
the black and the white,
as the people say. So
yep. All right, thumbs up for our.
Still don't know this theme, but yes.
All right, I think this is Kendall Jenner. She's wearing like a very big collar, like our guy Carl would. I don't see the gloves, but you know, I do like these sleeves, or the caped sleeves. I don't even know what you call that. I'm not sure how I feel about the like the jumpsuit, or what do you call that? Bodysuit.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Jenners and the Kardashians are like the Chris Pauls of the celebrity world. Like we're always just gonna like have a bias against them for something or other. And maybe a rap that isn't entirely deserved. But like a bad rap that isn't entirely deserved. But I think I'm nervous for her ankles. They make my ankles feel like I might twist an ankle a while. But no, I actually really like the sleeves.
Yeah, sleeves are nice. It almost looks like, I'm not even going to say it. Megan's about to burst up laughing.
What?
It almost looks like a quilt or something.
Oh, that's not.
I wonder like when you actually get inside, like what is it like walking around there? Like are you just like putting your hands above your head so like your sleeves don't drag on the ground, or like
a lot of these outfits have some sort of like part one, part two aspect to them, which is interesting.
I'm okay in the bodysuit.
Like, wait, is that a thumbs up or thumbs down?
I would give a thumbs up.
A thumbs up, I think.
All right.
But
yeah,
no. All right. I mean, now we got Kim Kardashian. This, it's almost like, I don't know.
Is she wearing a top, or is it just those necklaces covering?
I think the necklaces are the top, you know, probably just has, you know, some sort of bra under there. What do you call the?
A bandeau?
The shapewear. That's what it looks
like. It looks Skims. Like Skims.
Yeah.
So she's probably promoting her own product here. Like,
I don't know.
I'm wearing Skims. That's inspired by something Chanel. I'm guessing that's Chanel.
I mean, we love our business owners.
No, it's actually not. It's Schiaparelli.
Oh.
But they're all pearls, which is very Chanel.
All right.
This is why we need Megan for this segment.
Thank you for standing by here.
Yeah.
But is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I'm giving this a thumb sideways. Like
I
there's effort here, and there's definitely like execution put into this. the wrists just don't land for me. So I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the try.
It's almost like if she wasn't wearing that, if there was something there that wasn't the shapewear, I don't know what it would be. Yeah,
I think that's I almost wish it was all pearls, like, or like all sparkle, like maybe instead of seeing like the skim so obviously, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think that yeah, we can move on, but I think it's just like, don't hate it, don't love it.
Yeah, it's whatever. Okay, this is Jared Leto. Very he's an avid Met Gala attendee. For me, this is giving off, like, you don't watch Game of Thrones, but Lord of Winterfell vibes.
Mm-hmm.
He's like King of the North type of deal. But he's wearing the gloves that, you know, that's Carl inspired. I don't know what else I would give this a thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, this has like, I was gonna say Death Cab for Cutie meets Dungeons and Dragons, but I do really like the shoes. I assume those are Gucci loafers. Yeah, Gucci horse bit loafers, whatever. I'll give it a thumbs up. I like it. I can't hate it. I do like lace on men, and I do like the sleeves there. Whatever about the gloves, but I guess it's the theme. So thumbs up.
Okay. Also, Jared Leto. Is this same? This the same one? So, do you know the story behind this?
No. So, Carl has this cat, and so some people decided to dress to that theme.
Okay.
So is this like, is this part one or part two? Like,
oh, this is. I think I don't know what this is.
I don't think I even saw him in this cave, but now that I see the carpet.
Yeah, that's definitely this year.
It is a part two or a part one.
Like, he just came, like, he came dressed with the cat on the head.
Yeah, like, when I first saw it, I was like, who is in that cat suit?
Yeah, so I don't know. Just, I guess, thumbs up for, you know, the balls.
Commitment to the bit, I get it. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah.
All right. We got Anne Hathaway.
Hey, this one I wanted to talk about.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, why?
Why is everyone obsessed with, like, I don't know. I've seen, like, every Met Gala search I've had has been of Anne Hathaway. Is it just because she's Anne Hathaway, or is there something about this dress that's, like, I'm just missing?
So, me personally, I love it because it's tweed. So, classic Chanel tweed. And then the side, like, the kind of safety pin, it's, like, giving, is it 90s or 2000s, like, Versace? And so to make just like the iconic Chanel tweed into this beautiful evening gown, plus she looks stunning. I don't know. I just think it's a very well put together look. And it's Anne Hathaway.
And in my research, Carl did bring tweed to high fashion. That was one of his his things.
All the Chanel jacket. It's tweed. Yeah.
Okay. Look at me. Look at us.
So I like the homage to an icon. So I guess execution is great. She does look great.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just not a tweed person, but
I mean, yeah, I feel like it's just hard. Like, if anyone else were to say wear tweed, like, to make tweed into this evening gown, you know. But a double thumbs up for me.
I feel like Megan just Megan's explanation right there. I feel like it was very well done. I feel like Megan explained this the way, like, I would explain, like, a pick and roll to someone who just started watching
basketball. All right. We got, quickly, Pusha T.
We're not even halfway through this doc.
I didn't even see that.
Thumbs
one.
Up, thumbs down. I say thumbs.
Oh, we should have done a whole pod about this. I like his shoes.
Yeah. I think the double... Maybe it's a double breast that makes it look like boxy. It looks boxy on him.
It is boxy. Yeah, I'm thumbs down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nas X wearing some body paint with some pearls.
Pearls.
Mm-hmm. And some pearl mask. Yeah, I don't know. That's a choice.
I mean,
he's in shape.
It's
good
just
for him.
A lot.
Like he looks.
It's just a lot.
Yeah.
I think I'm thumbs up here. I think it's confidence. I don't know how this plays with the theme, right? Like
the pearls, Chanel pearls.
Oh, okay. Pearls. I think the mask kind of makes him look like the fish from Shape of Water.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
But gotta love a good commitment to like a risk and a look. So, and I like the shoes.
It's almost like I feel like there should be maybe some like eyepiece. Like I don't know if I should be seeing his eyes. What if it was just something? I don't know.
You almost like lizard eyes. Like lizard eyes that are like full of like diamonds or like,
yeah,
almost, like disco ball.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Almost like, yeah, like lenses.
I could see
or something.
That actually. Yeah.
All right. Our favorite second greatest rapper, allegedly, Jack Harlow.
This is like a huge thumbs down for me.
Yeah, thumbs down. This just like he looks like he's going out on a Tuesday.
I feel like he bought like that like jacket from Bodega or something and then just threw it together with like other clothes he already has.
Yeah.
Yeah, get a new stylist.
Agreed. Vanessa Hudgens.
This is like a fat thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Yeah. I don't know how much that like tourism ambassador campaign is paying her for the Philippines, but obviously it's not enough.
it's almost, I feel like it's missing a lot of, like there's no accessories, no jewelry.
It's mid.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys weren't like biased towards her because you love her because she's Filipino.
No, she's Filipino, so we hold her to a higher standard. Yeah.
This is a huge thumbs down. I would give all of the thumbs in the world a thumbs down for this. Like, the pants look baggy and like long.
Yeah.
Double pressed. Like, yeah, this is, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes.
Yeah.
I like the shoes, and that's all I can really say. Even the chain, like even just like Patrick Mahomes' chain, like this is like the opportunity to wear something like flashy. Like even like if you wore pearls on like with like a black shirt, I think that'd be a cool look here. Yeah, this is just
huge miss.
Yeah, yeah. Brittany looks fine.
All right. Did you see this look?
This is Doja Cat, right?
This is Doja Cat, just like a cat.
That was like a avatar.
Yeah.
But I like this. I like this a lot. Yeah. Is this dress? This dress is Chanel or Versace?
I don't know what the dress is, but I just know she's.
Like, it's very extra.
Yeah.
Very extra. I mean, she's been very extra.
Like last year's Met Gala look was insane, as well, but. I guess she's kind of on theme because of the cat.
Doja cat, like it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think she put a lot into her face, which I think a lot of people didn't. Besides, like Lil Nas X, like you know what I mean. Like I feel like the shape of her face looks different. I think I like the creativity of styles there. The creativity and like standing out. So.
Okay, so you like the standing out, the really out of pocket looks.
I would put this in my top three.
Wow. Mm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Kiki Palmer. It's like standard. It's not taking a lot of risks. I mean, she looks great post baby. Give her that. But I don't know about like this situation. Doesn't seem to go with the rest of with the look.
Yeah, this reminds me of like the Kylie outfit. Who's the second one we saw that had like the red dress and like
Kylie?
Yeah.
I didn't see that look. I haven't even seen some of these ones.
Yeah, I did my research. I went through all the looks.
Oh my gosh, I didn't. Wow.
Have you seen Ozark?
No.
Oh, Joe.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, skip that one then.
Never mind. And we have Usher. It's giving like 2000s vibes.
Are oversized suits back? Like,
Like, do I need to stop buying my suit slim?
I have no idea. I mean, I would say this doesn't look too good. I mean, it's
yeah.
like oversized, but like fitted, if you know what I mean. Like the five buttons. The shoes are cool.
It's just boring.
I feel like he might have wore that suit on like one of his on a performance in the 2006 like Confessions tour.
Yeah.
And he probably wore that undershirt for like the Loveless Club music video. So she's all right. Yeah, I'm a thumbs down.
All right. Quinta Brunson?
Yeah.
Our queen, our Quinta. Favorite teacher.
Our favorite teacher, Quinta. You go first.
I don't like it.
It's okay, yeah. We love Quinta, but did not love this look.
Yeah.
I don't
Quinta's had some other great looks. I don't think this is it.
Yes. Actually, all season, all award season, she's had some phenomenal looks.
Dwayne Wade. This, you know, it's giving like Vampire Matrix.
I actually kind of like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Denise brought up like, which one of these looks would you want to wear at your wedding? Mm-hmm. And I think this is a good one.
And he has the kind of cape like buttoned up, like with the high collar neck, like Carl. I see it with the gloves.
Yeah.
Shoes are a little boring, but maybe, you know, he wants the rest of his outfit to be the main piece.
I think he's just looking for shiny shoes to go out with his shiny shirt and his shiny gloves. Yeah, that's fine. I like his tuxedo chain.
All right. Megan's favorite new celebrity.
His Ice Spice?
The Spice Cabinet.
How do you feel about this?
It's whatever.
Yeah.
It's her first Met Gala. It's fine.
It doesn't... I feel like for her, in her situation as like, you know, the sort of up-and-coming person, I think she needed to make a statement, and that's not what this is.
I agree, and I feel like usually she wears, I wouldn't say her clothes usually pop, but her look is a statement, and so I feel like she should have matched that energy with her outfit.
Yeah.
And it also isn't really on theme, it's just white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my thing here is this forgettable.
Yeah.
Dua Lipa.
I think that's tweed. Is that tweed?
Yeah.
Okay, so we know how we feel about tweed.
it's giving me some like Bridgerton vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
I like the necklace.
It's like the classic.
Yeah, very classy.
Tiffany's necklace. That I think Lady Gaga or someone else wore it with a yellow diamond. And hers is like just a normal diamond. And the dress is like a runway look from Chanel.
Yeah. I like how she's giving, you know, she's not wearing too many accessories to let the dress breathe.
you shamed her well, Megan.
Wow.
But I'm a thumbs up. I think it's not my favorite look, but I like it. I like the backstory. I'm also just biased towards Dua Lipa. So, yeah.
Same.
All right. We have Jenna Ortega from Wednesday. You like this.
I like it for her.
You like it for her?
Like, it fits her. Or actually, I'm thinking it fits Wednesday, but yeah, I don't really know who she is.
I think she's got to let go of the whole Wednesday success. And have you seen Wednesday?
Yeah, I haven't seen Wednesday, but like, I mean, I know what it's about. And I've seen Jenna Ortega in a bunch of stuff. And to be completely honest, I think this is my favorite look.
Whoa! Wait,
what is it?
Whoa.
What is it?
I like the collar. I like the frill with the gold accents. I really like her shoes. It is, now that you brought up the Wednesday thing, it is very Wednesday-y, right? But I don't know. It feels like I feel like there's like a line between making a statement and being completely out of pocket. And I think she makes that statement without getting out of pocket. Like, you know, you say like Lil Nas, like by out of pocket, it's just like doing something like, you know, just eccentric. And I think like, you know, Doja Cat did it, Lil Nas X did it. And I feel like if you were to ask, like ask me to recite like what dresses did people wear, this is the one I'd be able to remember. That wasn't out of the eccentric ones.
Okay.
All right.
I like that take.
Look at you, Joe.
Yeah. Not so uninformed, after all.
Not our other Filipina queen, Olivia Rodrigo. I don't think I like this. I don't like the yarn looking. It's weird. It's weird.
I hate it.
I don't like the hair. I don't like the hair. And it's
maybe
like,
there's like a statement thing with Carl with the hair.
Maybe
it kind of looks like someone put Jack Skellington in a shredder.
Yeah,
that's good. I love that.
Yeah,
I don't love this look.
No, I think she needs to take a driver's license and go back home.
All right, I think we only have a couple more. Do you know who this is?
Is it Jeannie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at you.
This is a Chanel dress, right? Yeah, this is the one. This is the one. This is the one. She kept popping up when I looked this up earlier. Yeah.
It's cute.
I think it works for her.
Yeah.
It's very K-pop-y. Yeah. Like, I think you said it. If anyone else wore it, I would hate it. But it feels like introducing K to the Met Gala. So
yes.
Wow.
And then this is a weird
one. Oh, I didn't even see this one. No.
Well, this was like, I think this was a part. This was part two of her look. There was a part one where she was wearing like some jacket.
Who's this?
This is Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe.
But yeah, this is like one of the worst that I've seen.
I feel like every year she does something similar to this. It's always like a bit. You didn't include Rihanna and
ASAP? Yeah. What about Rihanna? Yeah.
And it wasn't on my.
Oh my god!
It did come out like an hour ago, but like.
I liked her look. When I saw all the camellias, I was like, okay, she's always wearing like a quilt or a blanket duvet cover.
She took it off.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, for gentlemen, I was saying, I don't get how you can wear that. It's like 40, it's like 50 degrees in New York right now. But I don't know. I think like the Rihanna's thing when she wore the flower thing, when she wore it, she kind of looks like a Furby. let me see. I haven't seen it with it off.
Yeah, when she took it off and she has this huge, just long train. And she looks bomb, you know, just pregnant at the Met.
Yeah, I like it. I think with it on, I think she's going for like pregnant, bitch better have my money.
Yes, yeah.
I hate ASAP's outfit. I like the kilt. I don't like the jeans.
I was going to say, I love the jeans. I want a pair of jeans just like them.
Too many jeans, brother.
But it is giving too cash.
Yeah. I would wear the kilt to like a formal event.
You would wear that?
Yeah. Like if I had a stylist and they like recommended a kilt, I'd be like, yeah, let's rock it.
I could actually see you in that.
Yeah.
Because you are Irish.
Yeah. I was like, aren't you? Are you Irish?
But. Yeah. This was a fun segment. I wish we spent more time doing this.
Wow, I'm proud of you guys. I just love to see, like, hear your guys' take and interpretation.
Yeah, we covered all the ends of the spectrum with this episode.
Yeah, it was a good last episode.
We laughed, we cried, we're stressed.
Yeah, it was a nice relief. It was a nice yes. comedic relief. Anyway, thank you for doing that research, Dom.
Of course.
I think Brad would have thrived in this section.
Yeah, we could have done a whole episode on it for sure. Yeah. We got to find the next pop culture event to be uninformed on and give our take.
But I feel like I don't watch enough movies where we could do a real thing about the Oscars or the Emmys or any of those award shows.
I had to pick. That list was people that I think that you would recognize.
any looks you like that you didn't see me, that you didn't pick because you knew I wouldn't do them?
There's this guy from Atlanta.
I've seen Atlanta.
Was it the guy from? Hey, I don't know. But anyway. I mean, not too much. I try to keep it like people that we know for sure. Yeah.
You didn't even show Shay.
He didn't make that Vogue list that I was referring to.
Denise sent us a text of like, please consider him for your podcast. And I liked it.
Yeah. I think he has like a really good like fashion sort of body type. You know, he's got that really slender, like long face, slender body.
I think his would be an outfit I'd wear at my wedding.
I love his outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know Shay?
No, but I saw the picture Denise sent and I was like, 8. Mm. Like, so good. I don't know who it is, but
you gave it an 8 or he ate?
He ate.
Okay.
Like, he ate. All right.
No crumbs.
Yes.
Dom, if we're gonna do these events, we're gonna have to, you know, it's 2 straight males. We're gonna have to commandeer some terms. But
okay.
You said you gave him almost... an 8 or he ate.
This is uninformed.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna drop some lingo, like you know, no notes, you know, 8, no crumbs.
Yeah.
We'll do better next time.
Next time we'll serve.
This is our first Met Gala.
Our first, the annual AirPods and AirBalls Met Gala.
A&A on the red carpet.
A&A. Next year we should show up to this call and just be in Met Gala attire.
We should.
Yeah, live react, like literally live reactions.
Wow. All right. You gotta hold us to it. Thank you. Thank you for those that have listened to this very long episode.
Yes, and thank you to those, even if you skipped the first 40 minutes and you know just went straight to the Met Gala stuff. But
all right, Joe.
All right, well, Dom, I really did appreciate our friendship for the last couple, like 7-8 years.
Yeah, I was just starting to like you.
I know. But hopefully we'll play golf together soon. But anyway, thank you all for listening. Until next time, peace.
Peter.